case of the day, which is Dutcher versus Nebraska Department of Corrections. Ms. Hanson, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You may approach. Mr. Campbell, good morning to you. Do either counsel have questions before we begin?
No, Your Honor.
Then, Ms. Hanson, you may proceed.
Thank you. Counsel, Mr. Chief Justice, Justices, may it please the court. This case asks whether the exclusivity provisions of the Workers' Compensation Court allows for the wholesale preclusion of workers who become disabled in the course and scope of their employment to be able to sue their employer should the employer take an adverse action on the basis of that disability. They do not. The Nebraska Fair Employment Practices Act confers jurisdiction on the district courts of Nebraska to hear cases involving discriminatory treatment of employees who become disabled as a result of a workplace injury. That result follows from Nebraska statutes as well as this court's prior decisions. In State versus AD, this court made it clear, quote, where it is possible to harmonize an apparently conflicting statute, a court must do so. The issue before this court is how to harmonize the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act with FEPA. If one applies
the principle... Have we done that before?
This court has said as a matter of public policy that if somebody is retaliated against on the basis of bringing a workers' compensation claim, that they can bring that action in district court.
You haven't brought that claim.
We did not bring a retaliatory claim under public policy for filing a workers' compensation. We brought a claim under FEPA for failure to accommodate. If you look at the clear language of the statutes, they are not exclusive to each other, but actually can be harmonized. And that is because the nature of the statutory rights afforded to disabled Nebraskans, the limits of the jurisdiction on the Workers' Compensation Court, and the public policy reasons articulated by the Nebraska legislature and this court.
What are the statutes that you are saying we need to harmonize? I mean, we have the exclusivity provisions, but what's the provision of the employment statutes that you're arguing need to be harmonized?
Sure. So it's my understanding that the argument is that the exclusivity provisions, 111 and 148, bar a person from who is disabled from bringing a claim under FEPA. What FEPA says in 48-1101 is that it is the policy of this state to foster the employment of all employable persons on the basis of merit regardless of their disability, to safeguard their right to obtain and hold employment without discrimination on the basis of the disability.
That sounds pretty general to me. Would you agree that sounds pretty general?
I don't believe it is general. I believe that FEPA is the legislature's statement of public policy to protect people from discrimination. In 48-119, they specifically say that a complainant who has suffered in a physical, emotional, or financial harm as a result of discrimination must file an action directly in the district court of the county where such alleged violation occurs. That's what you need to harmonize in this situation. But I think
Does your theory of harmonization give your client two bites at the apple?
It does not. There are very distinct damages between a workers' compensation case and FEPA. Under Nebraska workers' compensation law, they actually term them as benefits. And what they can get is medical payment, indemnity payment, penalty provisions for a failure to pay, voc rehab, and in some cases, attorney's fees. Under FEPA, they can get a temporary or permanent injunction to block the discriminatory action. They can get special damages. They can get general damages. They can get attorney's fees, and they can get costs. And they are very distinctly different damages based upon how you sue. So you're not getting two bites of the apple. The Workers' Compensation Act is to allow an employee to get coverage for a physical injury that they receive on the job, whereas FEPA covers the discriminatory act of the employer. And that discriminatory act may occur years later, not necessarily right after the person is injured.
The failure to accommodate claim that you spoke of, that is ultimately what led to your client's termination, correct?
That is correct.
And doesn't the Worker Compensation Act take that into consideration through the vocational rehab benefits and the placement benefits? I understand your client passed on the placement benefits, but vocational benefits that she did, you know, exercise and was approved for?
It does not. The purpose of vocational rehab is to compensate for a loss of earning capacity. And if you look at the Workers' Compensation Act, there are five things that they attempt to do with an employee. The first thing they attempt to do is to return the employee to their prior job with the employer. In this case, the Department of Corrections wouldn't allow that. The second next option is to have the same job with the same employer with modification. Again, Department of Corrections didn't allow that. The third option for an employee is a new job with the same employer. Again, Department of Corrections here would not allow that. The next option is a new job with a new employer. Ms. Dutcher was not able to find that, and according to the vocational rehabilitational specialist, Pat Conway, that was because she was in a limited market of McCook, Nebraska, and her degree as a drug and alcohol counselor did not allow her great access to job opportunities. That was the only reason she got to the fifth and final part of voc rehab, which is to have formalized training to be able to re-enter the job market.
I'd like to change gears on you real quick. Do you agree that basically one of the key issues we have to deal with here today is interpreting that phrase of arises from such injury under 48-148?
I do.
Can you tell us why you're asserting that this does not arise from such injury?
Sure. And I think other courts have said it better than I could probably say it. Also, the EEOC has said it better. The EEOC has specifically said in its guidance that the Supremacy Clause of the United States does not allow for the exclusivity provision. In their work enforcement guidance, workers' compensation in the ADA, the EEOC specifically says, applying a state workers' compensation law exclusivity provision to bar an individual's ADA claim would violate the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution and seriously diminish the civil right protection Congress intended to grant to people with disabilities.
So are you making a constitutional claim here?
I'm not making a constitutional claim here. However, I think the clear policy of FEPA to deter employers from taking discriminatory action is limited if the employer knows that they can discriminate against an employee who is injured on the job with impunity.
The Supremacy Clause tells us whether federal law or state law governs when they might conflict, but your claim is under NFIPA. That's state law.
Yep.
We have two state laws here at issue, right? What could the Supremacy Clause tell us?
I think that the policy reasons for the ADA and the policy reasons for FEPA are similar. In this case, the only reason we could not maintain an ADA cause of action is because we have sued a state entity. If Ms. Dutcher had been a private employee or an employee at a private business, she could have maintained an ADA. Essentially, if we apply the exclusivity clause, we are allowing different results to happen based upon how the employee was injured and who their employer was at the same time.
Doesn't that happen all the time with doctrines like sovereign immunity, that your remedies are different if the state's on the other side?
It can, yes. But I believe in this case, the Nebraska legislature has been clear that the public policy is to protect people with disabilities. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Campbell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, James Campbell on behalf of the Nebraska Department of Correctional Services. Justice Frydenberg, I'd like to start with your question, which is, don't we have to focus on the language of the statute? The language of the exclusivity provision specifically says that an employee's acceptance of payments constitutes a release of all claims arising from the workplace injury. Arising from is very broad language. It includes not only claims seeking to remedy the injury, the physical injury itself, but all claims flowing from that injury. And what we've done in our argument is based it on two considerations that we've found in this court's case law. The first consideration is whether the potentially barred claim would have existed but for the original workplace injury. If it would not have, that tends to suggest that the exclusivity provision applies.
I beg your pardon. Is claim a defined term within the Workers' Compensation Act?
If it is, Your Honor, I'm not familiar with that definition. I did look at the definitional provision, but I did not see that. So if I missed it.
So it's arising from a claim, and everybody knows what a claim is.
Well, it's arising, claims arising claim. From the injury.
Pardon?
Yes, yes. And then the second factor, the second consideration, is what I call the remedy factor. And that is whether the potentially barred claim is seeking to remedy an injury for which the Workers' Compensation Act already provides relief. If that's the case, then again, that further indicates that the exclusivity provision applies. So when you apply these two factors, the but-for factor as well as the remedy factor, they both weigh in favor of finding exclusivity in this case.
The but-for factor is pulled from 48.148, I presume.
We believe that that is a fair reading of, yes, of 48-148.
And this second principle, from which statute do you believe that is derived?
Well, I think it's derived from this court's discussion of IM. In the IM case, IHM, that we cited in our brief, I think that's where we've pulled that principle from. And that case is talking about the exclusivity provision.
Is there a statute that you can connect that to?
Well, I think it's, no, not directly, Your Honor. I think it comes more out of case law than it comes out of the statutory text. Although I think it logically follows that if this same relief is already provided from the Workers' Compensation Act, then that's just another logical reason why you would find exclusivity.
Thank you.
Applying both of those factors, we think that they both clearly weigh in favor of exclusivity. And the but-for factor, this court would find as it applies that consideration that this disability discrimination claim would not exist but for that workplace injury, which is the sole basis upon which a disability is claimed. Moving to the second factor, the court would also find that this disability discrimination claim seeks to remedy the loss of employment. But the Workers' Compensation Act already seeks to do that, and it does so through vocational rehabilitation benefits. Specifically in this case, Ms. Dutcher was provided with an education. She received a degree that allowed her to go into a different field that she sought to enter, and she received a business degree. All the while that she was earning her degree, she was being paid almost $1,200 every other week. And in addition, she was also provided with job placement services, which she declined because she decided to work in her family business. So that factor, too, weighs in favor of finding exclusivity under these circumstances. Now, instead of engaging with the statutory text or instead of engaging with these factors, Dutcher's reply brief focuses specifically on treatises, specifically a workers' compensation treatise that cites out-of-state precedent. And I think there's an easy reason why the court should not follow what that treatise says. And that's because it relies on case law construing differently worded statutes that came to a different conclusion because they were looking at different statutory language. Specifically, the two examples that are highlighted in that treatise are the states of Florida and Minnesota. Essentially, the exclusivity provisions in those two states say that workers' compensation is the exclusive remedy for the injury itself. In contrast, our statute here in Nebraska says that workers' compensation is the exclusive remedy for all claims arising from the injury. And again, it's much broader language. It sweeps much more broadly than those other statutes do. And for that reason, regardless of what the courts have done in states like Florida and Minnesota, this court should affirm the decision below in this case.
So the claim here is another lawsuit.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm not sure.
Claims arising from the injury, right?
Yes.
What's the claim?
Well, the claim here is a disability discrimination claim.
Right.
Yes.
Another lawsuit.
They're trying to bring that claim in the form of another lawsuit. Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. And I think when, again, when you look further at the treatise that is heavily relied on in the reply, it cites to the state of Louisiana law as well. But the state of Louisiana law is even further afield, because there they have what I call a non-exclusivity provision. The statutes, the workers' compensation statutes, actually say that nothing in this statute shall affect the liability of the employer under any other statute, or the liability resulting from an intentional tort. So language like that expressly allows an intentional non-discrimination claim. But in contrast, we have nothing like that in the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act.
Your opponent seems to suggest that language in the Nebraska Fair Employment Act provides language similar to what the other states might have. What is your response to her argument in that regard?
Your Honor, I don't understand the other side's argument about there being a conflict and a need to harmonize. What this court needs to do is to read, first and foremost, the exclusivity provision in the Workers' Comp Act. That exclusivity provision has this broad language that I've been talking about. If you conclude that that broad language sweeps in Ms. Dutcher's disability discrimination claim, then that's the end of it. I don't think the court actually needs to construe different provisions within FIPA. Having said that, I think Justice Papik was right. I think that the language that was relied upon this morning is very general language, when what we're dealing with in the workers' compensation exclusivity provision is specific language addressing when it applies. So that would be our take. The other consideration, if the court thinks it needs to harmonize FIPA with the Workers' Compensation Act, which again, I don't think is the right way to look at the analysis, but if it does, I think one interesting factor is that when the current disability discrimination law came into being, which was in 1993, that's when the failure to accommodate claim was put into FIPA, the legislature said nothing indicating that it was attempting to preempt or supersede or otherwise get around this very broad language of workers' compensation exclusivity. And so if the court is going to read them together, I think it's that factor that the court should find is telling and should find that weighs in favor of exclusivity in this case. One of the main features of Ms. Dutcher's brief is a discussion of workers' compensation retaliation claims. I was glad to hear this morning the concession that that claim actually wasn't raised in the complaint, because in the reply brief, I understood it to be Ms. Dutcher's claim that they were continuing to insist that such a claim was raised. However, with the concession this morning, I'm glad to hear that they're conceding it was not. Nevertheless, there's still a discussion that the mere existence of a workers' compensation retaliation claim, that in and of itself disproves the state's analysis. And I don't think that's true, because again, we focused on two factors, the but-for factor as well as the remedy factor. And in this case, both factors weigh in favor of the state, and so the court doesn't need to decide whether just the but-for factor alone is enough or whether the court has to consider other things. The fact of the matter is here, there are multiple considerations, and they're all pointing the way towards workers' comp exclusivity. And so these more technical details about what the workers' compensation retaliation claims mean in terms of future cases, I don't think the court needs to get into here. Unless there are other questions, I'll conclude with this. Vocation rehabilitation benefits through the Workers' Compensation Act already afforded Ms. Dutcher remedy for the loss of her employment. She's now seeking double recovery. So we would ask this court to affirm the judgment below. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 1:42.
1:42, Ms. Hansen.
I want to start where counsel left off, which is voc rehab. If, as I understand their argument now, only if an employee is terminated because of their disability and receives vocational rehab, they should be precluded from bringing a claim under FIPA. What does that do for all of the other employees who are injured with a disability and they have some sort of other adverse action taken against them? This sets up a distinct problem, which needs to be held. We need to deal with this in a more broad way. The Nebraska Fair Employment Practices Act wants to and protect anybody with a disability. The court last year in Hoffman said, "The applicable rule is that when the legislature enacts a law affecting an area which is already the subject of other statutes, it is presumed it did so with the full knowledge of pre-existing legislation and the decisions of the Supreme Court construing that." The Workers' Compensation Act was first drafted in 1913. FEPA was first drafted in 1965 and the failure to accommodate in 1993. The Workers' Compensation Act was in place when FEPA was enacted, and the legislature stated its clear intent that FEPA should be treated as supplemental to other remedies.
Do you agree that but for your client's workplace injury, you would not have a FEPA claim?
No, I think that we would not have a FEPA claim if the employer had not taken a discriminatory action. He cited to others.
Okay, then what if it doesn't satisfy the but-for test? What is your claim if there wasn't an injury?
Our claim is because of the disability. And the Minnesota statute for their work comp says the liability of an employer prescribed by this chapter is exclusive and in the place of any other liability to the employee. The Minnesota Supreme Court
What would your claim be if there was no injury? I didn't hear an answer to that.
If there was no injury?
If there was no workplace injury.
If she had no workplace injury, but she had had the same disability rating because she had done a takedown somewhere else, she would have had a FEPA claim. The Minnesota Supreme Court, in overturning, they used to say that the exclusivity provision barred discrimination claims, but what they said when they overturned that is workers' compensation exclusivity does not apply discrimination because a discrimination claim is not based on the employee's work-related injury, but on the employer's illegal response to it. Further, if you look at the statutory construction of the Workers' Compensation Act, in 48-101, it says that it is when a personal injury is caused to the employee. There can be no dispute that there is not a personal injury in a termination. Further, in 48-110, it says, when employers and employees shall by agreement expressed or implied accept the provisions of the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act, compensation shall be made for personal injuries to the employee. This is not a personal injury.
Counsel, you said something about a takedown somewhere else. Are you talking about like a takedown at home or a takedown at a grocery store? Is that what you're referring to? And then if that takedown injury occurred, there wouldn't be workers' compensation for that claim, would there?
Correct. If she was injured outside of the job and suffered the same injury and had the same disability as a result of an injury outside of work, she would not have a workers' compensation claim.
So we wouldn't worry about this exclusivity clause. We would be dealing with a FEPA if she was discriminated against based upon that disability. Is that correct?
Correct. But if you look at the Nebraska statute on FEPA, it does not have a carve-out provision in it for employees who are disabled as a result of an injury on the job. They say any Nebraskan with a disability should not be discriminated against on the basis of their employment.
Would it matter if there was a takedown training with a private security company?
And not if
she was injured?
And not in the course and scope of her employment if she did that on her own?
No, in the course of the training in order to have that job at that private security company, but the security company is not a government entity.
If the employer was not a government entity and she was injured in the course and scope of her employment doing takedown, she would be able to get workers' compensation, and if they then took an adverse employment action, whether it's a demotion or a termination on the basis of that disability, she could also potentially bring an ADA claim.
What is the discriminatory act? Is it the termination, or is it the fail to accommodate, or the fail to give a new job within the department? What is the act itself?
There are two discriminatory acts at play in this case. First, when they sent the letter in September of 2016, she had specifically asked, and as her supervisor had specifically asked, that instead of being a level 3 takedown designation, which by the way is not in the job description for the supervisor, nor is it in the job description for the officer of the day, that she be a level 2 flee and evade, they refused to make that accommodation. So they did not accommodate her in that way. Then 3 months later in December, they terminated her because they refused to accommodate her, and she still had the restriction in place that she could not be a level 3 because at that time she could not perform a takedown of an inmate with her right knee injury. Because the Fair Employment Practices Act clearly allows for a disabled Nebraskan to bring a claim in the district court, and because workers' compensation is a statutory construction, we ask that this court overturn the district court and make it clear that an employee who is hurt in the course and scope of their employment has the same protection as any other disabled Nebraskan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. That concludes arguments in Dutcher versus Nebraska Department of Corrections. And you are excused. The court